Chapter 58. Dix stared at Jesse, not unlike the way Tamara Elkin had stared at him the night before. "Jen called last night," Dix asked. "Before or after you called to make this appointment?"
"After."
"Then she's not why you're here."
"What does that matter? She called."
"And?"
"And it was the same old thing. She called pretending she was concerned about me, with what's going on in Paradise with the murders."
"Don't you believe her?"
"Do I think she's concerned? Maybe, sure. But is that why she called? No, probably not."
"Then why did she call?"
"I don't know. Her job isn't working out, or her most recent boyfriend is about to dump her, or she saw a line on her face that wasn't there the day before. Take your pick," Jesse said. "Not my job. But you apparently understand Jen very well."
"We worked it out in here. You know how she is. She needs me when things are broken. Then when things get fixed, she doesn't."
"Were you tempted to fix whatever was broken this time?" Dix asked.
"Not really. But I did stay on the phone with her for 20 minutes without getting anywhere."
"You sound angry about that."
"There was another woman with me when Jen called." Dix nodded.
"I hate when you do that," Jesse said.
Dix kept nodding.
"What happened?"
"First she retreated, then she basically left without saying a word."
"Who's responsible for that?"
"Me." "Is the damage irreparable, do you think?"
"Probably not."
"Then why are we talking about this?" Dix said.
"Weren't you listening?"
"Look, Jesse, your ex called. It took a lot of hard work on your part to figure out the patterns that kept you and Jen locked together in a very unhealthy emotional pas de deux. You parted ways, but none of that means either of you stopped caring, or that parts of you still don't hunger for the old comfort you found with each other. It seems to me you get it. You see Jen for who she is and for what she wants. You say the damage between you and this other woman is fixable. So let me ask you again, why are we talking about this?"
"Because I don't want to talk about Suit."
"The cop who got shot last spring?"
Jesse nodded, then sat silently, staring at anything but at Dix. After a few minutes of that, he said, "It's almost time for him to get back on the street."
"And?"
"And I'm scared for him."
"Why?"
"Because the last time he was on the street, he was 2 inches away from being killed. And I'm not joking about the 2 inches. An inch this way or that, and he'd be dead."
"I point this out only as a matter of discussion, Jesse. But you've had other cops die under your command previous to this, and I don't recall you reacting this way. What do you think that means?"
"Those other cops weren't Suit."
Dix nodded. "What's special about Suit?"
"I don't know."
"Of course you do. You've spoken about him in here many times."
"I have?" "I guess I must have mentioned him." Dix smiled.
"I can tell you a lot about Luther Suitcase Simpson, Jesse, but it will do you no good for me to tell you. What's special about Suit?"
"He wants to be a good cop so bad."
"Is he bad at his job?"
"He's fine for where he is."
"For Paradise, you mean?"
"He's good with people, and he can handle himself in a fight."
"But?"
"He couldn't make it on a big city force. He'd get eaten alive. You know what it's like, what you have to deal with."
"I do. Not everybody can handle it. But it's more than that.
I've tried to coach him up. I've encouraged him. Tried to get him to take the initiative," Dix said.
"And has he taken the initiative?"
"It's what nearly got him killed."
"Do you blame yourself?"
Silence. Long silence.
Then,
"He was trying to impress me."
"Why would he want to impress you?"
"Because I'm his boss," Jesse said, unable to look Dix in the eye. "You're fighting yourself pretty hard not to say what you've come here to say." "When he was shot, I got madder at Suit than at the shooter."
Dix smiled, or what passed for a smile.
"Why?" "Because he shouldn't have been there. If it was another one of your cops, would you have felt that way?"
"Maybe."
He shook his head.
"No."
"Why?" Jesse said. Because Suit was way in over his head, he wasn't equipped for the situation. Who was responsible for that? Silence. Jesse checked his watch. Do you ever regret not having children, Jesse? What's that got to do with anything? You tell me. Jen and I would have made terrible parents. I didn't ask about Jen. I asked about you. Think about that. It's time. We have to stop. Jesse checked his watch again and looked more than a little relieved. I can't force you to come here, Jesse, Dick said, but I would urge you to come in next week. Jesse grunted something about trying and was gone. Chapter 59. Robbie Wilson was waiting for Jesse when he got back from Dix's. Robbie, built like a lumpy bowling ball, was in a fresh set of his fire chief blues, his little white legionnaire-style cap looking silly on his balding head. Jesse waved to him that he'd be with him in a minute and stopped to talk to Suit at the desk. You come up with anything yesterday? Suit stood and motioned for Jesse to come into the conference room. What's up? Jesse asked when Suit closed the conference room door. Suit smiled that big goofy smile of his. I got two witnesses said they spotted a white van in the area. One witness at each location. Their statements are on your desk.
We get a description of the van beyond it being white?
We did. Both witnesses say the van was pretty banged up. One says he thinks it was a Chevy.
Thinks or is pretty sure, Jesse wanted to know.
Pretty sure.
Beat up white van sound familiar to you, Suit?
John Milner.
Jesse said, great minds think alike. He clapped Suit on the shoulder. Good work.
It gets better.
Last night, Milner called in after we were both gone and reported his van was stolen. Suit's smile got even broader.
Some coincidence, huh?
Remarkable.
Sounds like somebody's covering his ass to me.
To me, too, Jesse said. We get a description of the driver from either witness?
Suit shook his head. Nothing solid. Sorry. One witness thought he saw a tall man in blue work clothes by the O'Hara garage, but wouldn't swear to it.
Could be Milner, Jesse said.
Suit agreed. Sounds like him. Should I send somebody around to pick John up for questioning?
Not yet. Maybe later the two of us will go have a little talk with him. Give me a few minutes in my office and then send Robbie in.
It felt good to be on the street again, Jesse.
I know. He patted Suit's biceps. We'll talk about it later. Jesse sat down at his desk and picked up the phone to call Tamara Elkin to apologize for his behavior. He put the phone down. He thought he should get a better sense of what was going on with him before he called. It was his experience that a call too soon was worse than no call at all. He pulled out his bottom drawer and looked at his office bottle. He thought about it for a few seconds, then closed the drawer. Robbie Wilson knocked on the door and stepped into the office without waiting for the come-ahead. That was Robbie Wilson to a T. Jesse could only imagine the fit Robbie would have thrown if Jesse just strolled into Robbie's office without permission.
Chief Stone?
Robbie? Jesse nodded toward the chair in front of his desk.
No thanks. I'm just here to give you these.
He placed two folders on Jesse's desk. They're the preliminary reports on yesterday's fires. I knew you'd want them. We're declaring them both arson. An accelerant was used in both fires, probably the same one. My guess, it was gasoline. But we won't know until we get the full analysis back from the lab. The idiot didn't even use a lighter. We found matches at both scenes.
Jesse laughed, remembering that Tamara had brought up the old saying about criminals having half a brain.
I say something funny, Chief?
Jesse shook his head.
I heard Marchand bought your boys new uniforms for the softball season. I didn't ask our sponsor yet. I guess you beat me to the punch on that one, Stone.
Not everything is a competition, Robbie.
Yes, it is. Everything's competition. That's what Coach Feller used to say. He used to tell us that anyone who doesn't realize everything's a competition is a loser and will always finish second.
Coach Feller?
He was a legend around here. Coached basketball at Sacred Heart Boys Catholic for 30 years.
No offense, Robbie, but you don't look like much of a b-ball player, Jesse said as diplomatically as he could manage.
Wasn't.
Football was my game. But I was team manager for the basketball team. It was an honor just to be around Coach.
Were you manager when a guy named Warren played?
Zevon? Sure.
Jesse made a face.
Warren Zevon, like the rock star?
His name was Warren Zabriskie, but everybody called him Zevon. Small forward. Stupid asshole had a full scholarship and just pissed it away.
Wilson shook his head in disgust. Came home after his first year and never went back to school.
Jesse was curious. What happened to him?
Robbie shrugged. I don't really know. Heard he just left town that summer. Why do you ask?
Forget it. Thanks for these. Jesse held up the files. Let me know when you get the full lab report back.
Wilson turned on his heel and left.
Jesse suddenly had a much better understanding of Robbie Wilson. Some people, he thought, never do graduate from high school.